with the latest news now.
Union leaders are being urged to call off strike action after the government offered public sector workers pay rises of up to 7%. Rishi Sunak says the government have accepted the recommendation from pay review bodies. The PM says the money will need to come from savings from department budgets, not by raising taxes.
It would not be right to increase taxes on everyone to pay some people more, particularly when household budgets are so tight. Neither would it be right to pay for them by higher borrowing, because higher borrowing simply makes inflation worse.
A High Court judge has ruled to quash regulations introduced by the government, which unions had argued allowed agencies to supply employers with workers to fill in for striking staff. Sharon Graham, who's the Secretary General of the Unite Union, which is one of the bodies that brought the action, says that it's a total vindication for unions and workers. Some 73.3% of patients in England were seen within 4 hours in A&Es last month, down from 74.0% in May. The figure hit a new record low of 65.0% in December. Losses and default rates on mortgages have increased in the past few months and are expected to rise further in the months ahead. That's according to a Bank of England survey of lenders. The bank's credit conditions survey found that default rates for non-mortgage lending are also expected to increase slightly by the end of August. The UK is one of the countries that will have to adapt the most radically to cool down buildings as climate change drives up the global average temperature. That's according to a new study. It says homes were built to retain heat during cold winters, but rising temperatures because of climate change means more unwanted heat during the summer, which can be fatal for older and more vulnerable people. And Markéta Vondrousova is into her first Wimbledon women's final. She beat Elina Svitolina in straight sets in the semi on centre court, and now follows in the footsteps of her fellow Czech player Martina Navratilova. The seeded Vondrousova says it's crazy.
It was a very tough match, you know, she was coming back, she was playing some good tennis, so... Yeah, I'm just very happy that I stayed focused, and then I'm happy with the way I finished it.
And that is the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Phil Towers.
Radio Works. Helping charities to bridge the cost of living gap, Nationwide Building Society's community grant scheme is now open for charities to apply for up to £60,000. Here's Kirsty Hall from Nationwide Building Society.
Home is so important, and it's why we think everyone should have a place fit to call home. It's also why we created our community grants programme, to bring local customers and colleagues together to find ways of supporting people in their own communities who are struggling with housing and making a difference when it's needed the most.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village.
Showers will ease off to allow clear spells overnight. Patchy rain will affect Northern Ireland, Northern England and Southern Scotland. Heavier rain's on its way from the southwest. Lows tonight of 12 degrees Celsius.
Radio Newark weather with the YMCA Village, offering a range of classes for health, fitness and recreational activities, all delivered from exceptional community spaces by experienced friendly staff. See ymcanewarkshower.org for details.
Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
good evening and welcome to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. We've had a cracking start over the last couple of weeks and yeah, it's going to get even better again tonight, hopefully. Big thank you to Doug Hall there. And, well, we've got a treat for you guys tonight. We have, oh, and I didn't know they existed, and I don't know how many people did out there, but we have the wheelchair basketball from Newark, and very, very much looking forward to talking to these guys. Welcome, boys.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We have Simon and we have Mark. And so I spent a couple of hours last night with these boys understanding the rules, the pain, everything else that goes into it, and very much looking forward to speaking to them about what happened. We'll catch you guys in a few minutes. Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport, here with Gorey. And for those that are just tuning in, we have got the Newark wheelchair basketball team with us this evening. As I say, the team, we have a couple of the guys. And very much looking forward to speaking to you. That's we've got Mark and Simon. Welcome again, boys.
Good evening.
So, I went down last night. It's the first time I'd ever even knew that there was a basketball, whether it was wheelchair or not, in Newark. And I had a great night, a couple of hours with the boys watching it. Let's, because it's, I think, not known by a lot of people, let's talk about the history. Shall we go back to the start and how it all began?
Yeah. So we're the Nottingham Jaguars by right. We started off in Nottingham in the late 90s, early 90s even, sorry. Oh, that's a great start. So early 90s, and we moved to Newark from West Bridgford after a couple of seasons in the 93-94 season. And we've been at the Magnus School ever since.
Right, okay. Yeah. And what made you come to Newark?
A couple of the players, so Ian Brown, our head coach, and a couple of others, used to play up in Sheffield. Historically, the bigger wheelchair basketball clubs in the country have been located at spinal injury units in hospitals, going back to the 50s when wheelchair basketball came out. That's where they kind of congregated and players came from. So Sheffield is still one of the biggest ones, one of the most successful ones, and one of our biggest rivals, because Ian and some other players kind of drifted back towards Nottingham and set their own club up. And 30-odd years later, we're still trying to play basketball.
That's fantastic. I went last night and I was a little bit gutted that I didn't get strapped into the wheelchair as I wanted to.
You will
to.
One day.
I will, yes, one
day. We'll definitely do that for you. That's yeah. No problem at all.
I just thought I'll put myself in the position that you guys are, because, you know, not doing that every single day. And from what I saw, it was pretty rough in the middle there. So when I came away, I was pretty glad. So COVID, how did that affect you guys?
COVID was rough.
Yeah. Going from a very successful season to being cut, we were top of the league that season. We kind of, obviously, everything stopped. And then I spent most of my time writing policies and procedures to get us back on the court. And we're, not just myself, but other members of the club and trustees, spent a lot of time to make sure we could get back on court safely. And we were one of the very first clubs to get back training, loosely training. And a lot of clubs didn't come back. So we were very fortunate.
Before COVID, we had three adult teams, a junior team and a ladies team. And then post-COVID, we had two adult teams.
Okay. Does that include the ladies and the men's mixed, is that?
Yeah, so ladies and the senior teams are mixed.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a ladies sort of competition that sits to the side of that.
Okay, fantastic. So in terms of advertising and things like that, so people know that you're here, what have you got? What do you do? Apart from coming to a radio station.
Yeah, that's why we're here.
We do some bucket rattling occasionally at Morrison's.
Morrison's
in Newark. Okay.
Asda in North Fycombe. Other shops are available. I don't know if it's that. Yeah.
We've done a couple, but every
done some stalls. Like we worked with a local building society to kind of have a stall at the Newark Marathon to kind of raise awareness and raffle bits there. But none of us, by far, are marketing experts. social media posts go out occasionally and bits like that. So we are on all the social media platforms. So please give us a follow.
Yeah, we are. We're on all of them.
Okay.
We're not brilliant at it, but we're on all of them.
Okay, well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to learn a bit about the rules and learn about some of the players that you've got. And then, obviously, you had a massive, successful season last year.
Yes,
by far the best we've had ever.
Ever. Yeah. So, okay, so we're going to get to that towards the end a little bit, but let's we'll have a little break and then we'll crack on.
Cool.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Change for Life is about small changes we can make to be healthier. For loads of ideas to cut back fat, watch the salt, make sugar swaps or get your five a day, just search online for Change for Life.
Find fantastic entertainment on your doorstep at the Palace Theatre Newark. From hilarious comedy to absorbing drama, star names to terrific tributes, find family fun, romantic date ideas and big nights out with friends, all in the heart of town. Find the full programme and book now at palacenewark.com or call Newark 655-755.
Do you want decking, pal? Well, if you do, Trade Timber Supplies have got over 100 miles of it if you late end-to-end, and that's a lot of decking. Plus, we've all sorts of other timbers, too. Come and see us at Oakfield Lane Market, Warsaw, and ask for Tom. He'll sort it. Visit tradetimbersupplies.co.uk or find us on Facebook.
When you want wood, no matter what size, Trade Timber Supplies.
Radio Newark.
Welcome back to Radio Newark Sport here with Gory, and we've got the guys from Newark Wheelchair Basketball Club with me, and we've just talked about the history and how it all started and the fact that not many people in Newark know they existed, but hopefully they do now. So let's talk about the rules, because one of the things last night is that I found out was it's the same as normal basketball rules, I think.
Yeah, pretty
in
much.
In terms of the way that you play the game. But there's a point system. You want to talk me through that, boys?
Okay, so the point system is so that you can't just have five able-bodied people turn up and strap themselves into a wheelchair and away you go. It's done so that both sides can field a similar sort of team, so it's a similar kind of gain for both teams. So a point can be from anywhere from 1 to 5, 5 being an able-bodied player. So Mark, for the sake of example here, is an able-bodied player, so he's 5 points. I'm a blown knee amputee, so I'm only missing a little bit, so I only get a little bit off. So I'm a 4.5 point player. And we go down all the way down to a 1 point player. That's typically sort of paralysed from sort of chest down kind of thing, where they've got no movement or no control of you know, abdominal muscles and things like that.
Okay.
One of the things I asked Ian last night was, how can you tell who's a one? Because what I saw last night, everybody just looked like they knew what they were doing. You couldn't really tell who was a one and who was a 4-pointer. And I saw a lot of crashing into each other.
It's a non-contact sport, you know.
Yeah. I've broken more bones playing wheelchair basketball than day-to-day life.
It's the only non-contact sport I've ever been involved in where I've broken two ribs and bruised a lung.
I broke my toe.
That was only once. Yeah. You broke your toe?
I broke my toe, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Oh, my foot came out and got pushed. Yeah.
Cool. Left or right foot?
Don't know. That happened years ago.
So the bodies that break as much as the wheelchairs, I take it then?
Yeah, if you're not careful.
The chairs are made of like steel, aluminium. That'll always win over flesh.
How much do the wheelchairs cost?
Lord.
Ranging from about £1,000 all the way up to £7,500.
Wow. As much as that.
Yeah.
But if you look at like football boots, you can go into shops, get them for £30 and pay £250.
I've got a mid-range wheelchair. I've had it 8 years. And it cost me £4,000. It's getting to the point where I could probably do with a slightly newer one, but I'm getting old, so I don't care.
Or a diet.
Yeah, I could diet, actually. That would make me faster. If I dieted a little bit,
that's my problem. Fine.
Yeah.
One of the other things I noticed as well last night was the age range.
Yeah.
I mean, there was somebody that...
If you'd come pre-pandemic, you would have seen Bernie, who was 78 when he retired.
Wow.
And he was playing for 40 years?
4 years, yeah.
Yeah, basically his son has a disability, got him into sport, and he jumped in the chair and didn't stop until 78. If you come to the home games, I'm sure you'll find
Bernie will
find
be
him. You'll be able to point him out. He's the loudest one there.
Yes, he's got one of those clacker things, and every time he thinks that the clacker should sound, that's when it sounds.
At the most distracting point when you're trying to play, yeah.
But yeah, he stopped when he was 78, and at the same time, I think our youngest player at that point was
10, yeah, something like that.
So, I mean, like you say, there is a huge age range. I mean, you went last night, which is first team and invited guests. So they're the probably, top of the club sort of thing.
They're probably early 20s to...
Yeah, so in the first team, on a Wednesday night, it's early 20s to... Slightly older.
Old you.
All right, I'm 51, and I'm not the oldest there. There are two others that are older than me.
I was the oldest there last night, I think.
Yeah.
At 57.
So. Yeah, you were the oldest one. Yeah, because John's only a little bit older than me. John and Goose are the two that are older than me.
Oh, fantastic. So I noticed, obviously, there's some young lads there, and I noticed one guy had a Loughborough Lightning top on. I noticed a couple of guys had the England tops on.
Yeah.
So we've got a wide range of talent as well as middle-wide age, haven't we?
Yeah, we attract some really good players at the moment.
Yeah, we've historically had quite a few players come through the club and go on to the GB systems. So Joe Beswick, you would have probably easily pointed out, 7 foot, God knows what. And has been to, 4 Paralympics, played professionally in Germany for the last X amount of years, and, you can't stop him.
Yeah, he's just come back to the UK,
and
he's playing for us. Cause that's where
you don't get paid, do you?
No, we don't.
Not in the UK. Is that why Joe went?
Yeah, so a lot of other European countries have professional leagues, Italy, Spain, Germany. It's massive over there, and a lot of young talent goes over there to obviously make a living.
One of the guys you would have met last night is a guy called Ben. He's from Glasgow, but he was at the GB Under-25s training camp, so he popped over last night.
Long-haired guy. Yeah. Buffy, yeah, good. Yeah, I know you mean. Yeah.
But he actually plays for a team in Barcelona.
Does he?
Yeah, so he actually goes to Barcelona for the season and then comes back.
I mean, some of the other things I was marvelled at was some of the skills and how they control the ball, how they control the wheelchair at the same time. I mean, it really was.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
If you think about it, if you're using running basketball, you've got four limbs to move, shoot, pass, defend, stop.
Change direction.
Yeah, change direction. You've got two limbs to do all of that.
Yeah.
In wheelchair basketball. So you've got to be coordinated.
I mean, I saw that.
It takes a little while to get used to. If when you've got to come in, we've got to strap you into a wheelchair, because frankly, I really want to see that.
You're going to put me in the middle and I can see me being rammed. I can see that. No, but I am looking forward to that.
But that first couple of times where it takes a little while to get used, to get your head used to that fact that, yes, you've got to dribble. You know, you've got to bounce the ball, you've got to pass, catch, turn, move, stop.
Yeah, but the amount of kind of times where we've had, like, local businesses, or I used to go into schools, and you'd think these top athletes in these schools, you have kind of typical footballers and people who are, like, shown, like, they can perform, and you sit them in a wheelchair, and it's a levelling playing field, because they're used to using their feet whilst they're using their hands at the same time. And you take that away from them, and the coordination isn't as good as they thought it was.
And then, just to add insult to injury, we do actually have some players, some members of the club, whereby I'm thinking of actually your brother Carl.
Yeah,
he's got cerebral palsy, so he's got one side distinctly less powerful than the other.
Right.
So he can only really push with one hand. And catch the ball with one hand.
We used to have a player, he now plays in Leeds, I think, and he was a triple amputee. Had no legs, I think it was his left arm. So, and basically he would push with a prosthetic left arm and right arm, and he still played wheelchair basketball.
So if I was to say, right, you're going to strap me in and I'm going to take the sport up.
Yep.
How long before I become good?
Okay, so that's a really difficult question.
Yeah.
How long before you come good? It really depends on the player and any disability that they have. So, if I tell you about my journey, that's okay, the issue.
Yeah, that.
So, 8.5 years ago, I went on a weight loss program and lost half a leg. it's a... an impressive way of losing 20 pounds. I don't recommend it as a diet. But then after that, I was looking for something to do, something that I wanted to get involved with, something that and the Paralympics had been on and stuff. And I was like, yeah, this wheelchair basketball thing, that looks like a, you know. So I did a bit of research, found Jaguars wheelchair basketball. And on a Monday night, they meet at... 1NK up in North Icombe in Lincoln, and that's more of a social kind of, you know, it's more of a an outreach program.
That's where I started.
There you go. That's where a lot of us have started. We go there first and then come to Newark.
So what year, when did you start from?
So I started, blimey, I started in 2015.
Okay.
I did my first competitive season in 2016 in the fourth division. And then the year after that, so about two years, I should have made it into the second team, playing in what was then second or third division, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I managed to leapfrog into the first team, which was really good fun.
Yeah.
So it can take 2 years before you're really sort of competitive.
Yeah, it.
But it depends at what level you're looking.
Yeah, and as Simon said, there that the point system is there because it acknowledges that there are multiple different types of disabilities, and it makes it a lot fairer that Simon, who's missing a leg, can play against, say, for example, Ian, who is paralysed from the waist down, kind of thing. So it makes it a lot fairer.
One of the things I did notice that. The more feeling you've got, the more agility you've got in the chair.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I think was a
an advantage, yeah, wasn't it?
So that's why they would be a higher pointage, yeah, because it acknowledges that they're able to do more.
If you can twist your hips and turn the chair,
yeah,
you're a higher pointage player than somebody who can't twist their hips and turn the chair.
Okay, so, I mean, I know everybody was, I mean, to be fair, I mean, what I watched last night was amazing. Joe was just shooting from anywhere.
Yeah.
And it was going in.
Yeah, tell us about it.
Top goal scorer, but it takes a lot of practice, doesn't it?
Yeah, so he's been playing since early teens. Let's just go for that. And again, he started off at Jaguars back in the day, and he worked his way up through the GB structure, and obviously when he made it into the GB team, he obviously got the professional contract that came with it in Europe. He used to train before retirement, hours and hours and hours, just like any professional
sport
athlete would do. It comes with that kind of commitment.
It was amazing what I saw.
If you're looking at Joe, who we all love and adore, with his 94-foot wingspan.
Yeah.
To get that ball in as consistently as he does from all over the place takes many hours of practice.
Well, we'll have another break. We'll talk about some of the other players and Joe and what you've achieved when we get back. Because obviously what I learnt last night was amazing news. So we'll speak to you in a minute.
Cheers.
Cool.
Show, kicking with your torso, boys getting high and the girls even more so. Wave your hands if you're not with a man. Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
I got, you got, we got everybody. I got the gift, gonna stick it in the goal. It's time to move your body. Music for your masses, give no head, no backstage passes. Have a proper giggle, I'll be quite polite, but when I rock the mic, I rock the mic. You got no love and you're with the wrong man. It's time to move your body. If you can't get a girl but your best friend can, it's time to move your body.
Stop.
to Radio Newark Sport Hour with Gorey. We've got the guys from Newark Wheelchair Basketball with us this evening, and had a great start to the show this evening, talking about the history of the club and some of the things that go on in a wheelchair that make my eyes water last night. So we're just going to touch on some of the players you've got in the side. We've obviously touched on Joe.
Yep.
Shoots from anywhere, scores from anywhere. But I noticed there was a lot of young lads there. And there's also a young man who is going to go to the Invictus Games.
Yeah.
Well, you say young. Sorry, Dave. Yes, we have Dave. He is just over 21. Couple of decades. He used to be in the RAF and has ended up being disabled. And he is going to the Invictus Games playing wheelchair basketball, and he's just been announced as the captain of the team for wheelchair basketball.
Dave
started it's off at North Highcombe, funnily enough, as we were just saying. That's normally our first port of call. So he started off coming to NK Jags, and he's an absolute rock-solid second-team player. He's come on so much in the last sort of 5 years. It's unbelievable. And to actually know somebody that's going to be the captain of an Invictus team is quite special.
That's in Dusseldorf, isn't it, the game?
Yeah, Dusseldorf, September.
Yeah, so I'm not going to tune into that, because that would be interesting to say, I know that man on there. Who else have we got in the side that... we've obviously got Mark, able-bodied. We've got Simon, who's lost a bit. who else have we got in the side? And I noticed there was one lad from Middlesbrough, I think, was travelling down from Middlesbrough.
Yeah, so we've got quite a... obviously, not going to steal the limelight for later, but with our recent success, we are looking for new players. And these couple of young lads who are on the GB pathway are attending local universities. So that is going to be a massive boost to the team and bringing a lot of experience. They've played in the highest leagues in the country with their other clubs, and hopefully they're going to bring that kind of experience to Newark.
That's brilliant news.
So hopefully next year or this next coming season, Newark Jaguars will be one of the top wheelchair basketball clubs in the country.
Wow. And that's amazing.
Yeah, and this is the first time in, I've been with Jaguars now 20 years. This is the first time we've kind of hit that level, which is amazing. And the dedication from the team the last year, or the last few years, because we were on the up from before the pandemic, and obviously the pandemic didn't help, and we've come back stronger and more resilient from that. And it probably does help having Joe in the team as well, though.
And Richard. Another guy who probably didn't turn up last night. A guy called Richard Sargent, who used to play professionally in Sicily.
So, again,
started off at Jags and went through, did some GB stuff.
Yep.
Went to Italy, played professionally in Italy, retired, came back to Jags.
Wow. They always come back to Jags, don't they?
Yeah.
Because I noticed who did come back to Jags last night was a guy called Abdio. Because there's an Abdi A and an Abdi O, isn't there?
Yeah.
As I found out last night. And he's played Olympics and whatever he's played in. I can't remember what
they're talking. 3-4 Paralympics, just like Joe Beswick. We do attract a lot of big names, but no one ever hears of them. Which,
we're the best club you've never heard of.
Yeah.
Well, we're just going to have a little break, because I think we ought to just spend the last 10-15 minutes talking about the success, because I think it's amazing. So
cool.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Inspire Learning's college courses for young people offer qualifications in maths, English and IT, plus vocational qualifications and traineeships in health and social care, hospitality, construction and many more. With small class sizes, supportive tutors and study plans tailored to suit you and your needs, Inspire Learning will not only help you achieve your goals for work and education, but also for life. You can also earn as you learn, up to £100 a month, which won't affect any benefits. To find out how an Inspire Learning college course can help you, call Mansfield 476 830 or visit inspireculture.org.uk.
When you want to enhance your outside space with a brand new driveway, you need a company you can depend on. A company that values reputation and trust, and one that delivers quality through detail. One name stands out from the rest, CF Surfacing. We'll work with you from start to finish and deliver the perfect driveway for you. CF Surfacing are part of CF Construction, a recognised name in the region and still a family-run business. Call CF Surfacing to discuss your project on 01522 253333 or see our website, cfconstruction.co.uk/surfacing.
And welcome back to Radio Newark Sport with Gorey. We've got the boys here from Wheelchair Basketball Club here in Newark. We've got Simon and we've got Mark. Let's just dive into it. Let's talk about the success. Let's talk about where you're going to be going next year, who you're going to be playing against. It's just amazing news.
Yeah, so the season that's just ended, we ended up winning the first division. Unbeaten, and we're now going to be in the Premier League, or equivalent, Premier Division, playing against the other, seven top teams in the country. A club that is on the doorstep in Newark that is fairly unheard of in the local community is now playing with the big dogs, like the Sheffields, the Milton Keynes, the Londons, up and down the country. So it'll be exciting to take our wares around.
Yeah.
Even further.
Yeah. So how do you get the money to get yourselves around? Because nobody's being paid. How do you get the money to get yourself around to all these places?
I go to work.
Yeah.
And, basically, the players fund themselves.
Right, okay.
So if we've got an away match, in Plymouth, we'll drive to Plymouth out of our own pocket. The club will pay or try and pay for a hotel for us overnight if it's too far. But other than that, we are totally self-funded.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Plymouth.
Yeah.
Plymouth was the playoff game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us about that? Simon's laughing. So you can't see it, guys, but Simon's laughing. So
It was a nail biter.
It was a really good game.
Yeah. How many fouls did he get?
I can't remember. It must have only been one.
Yeah. Out of five.
Or two.
Or two, yeah.
Keep going.
Might be three.
So one of the rules in basketball is you get to five fouls.
Yeah.
And it's adios, isn't it?
Yeah. You have to leave the court.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And you can't play at all after that?
No.
Not in that game, no.
That game. And Joe found that out because about four or five of their players, I think, Did they actually have a team at the end at all?
Maybe the coaches were getting involved.
Yeah, I think there was just five of them left. It was a bit rough and tumble in places.
And like Simon said earlier, it's a non-contact sport, but it does get going once the adrenaline gets going and the competitiveness kicks in. It does get a bit fierce and hot on the court with that. So.
There's been occasions in the past where you look at a play and it's almost like you're thinking somebody's going to punch somebody in a minute. But luckily, touch wood, that's never happened.
I've seen it a couple of times, a couple of fights.
I'm trying to be good about this.
The first game. Sorry, I'm going to go on a boring story here, but the first time I'd been invited to the first team. I was young, 16-year-old going to Glasgow, And that ended up in a fight. My first experience in the first team many years ago ended up in a fight, and the game got cancelled with 2 minutes to go. Wow. I don't want to say that's Ian's fault.
But it was Ian's fault.
Ian was involved.
Yeah, that's fair. Ian is our head coach who's not here, and it's always Ian's fault. whatever it is, it's going to be Ian's fault. If you're late, it's Ian's fault. Yeah, absolutely. Apart from when if you win, it's not Ian's fault, then obviously it's us. We've done that.
We've done the hard work. Yeah,
despite Ian. You know, that's
I'm going to state the obvious here, but you're in a wheelchair and you're fighting.
Yeah.
How does that work?
I've got quite a long reach.
Yeah.
I will admit, actually, one of my first team games, we were in North Wales. It was North Wales Knights. Yeah. And there's a guy that used to play for North Wales Knights who was about 9 foot tall.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise that. And he was picking on, do you remember Luke?
Yeah.
And it was his first game ever in the adults. And this guy kept ramming into him. And we were on the same side on defence. So I said to Luke, because Luke was like, you know, what the hell's going on here? So I said, all right, next defence, when he comes down, I said, at the last minute, I said, we'll switch. I'll have him. So he came down the court, we switched. And I politely explained that if he didn't stop ramming into my young friend, that me and him would be having a conversation in the car park after.
It's a gentleman's sport.
And did he stop?
It is. He did stop. He actually went the other side of the key and never came back outside. But then at the end of the match, he actually got out of his wheelchair and the guy's like 9 foot tall or something. I was like, it's a really good job.
And I think it's like any sport. Once the final whistle goes, everyone shakes hands and forgets about that and you go have a cup of tea and coffee.
Yeah, and you're sitting and you're saying, oh, you know, you did really well. Yeah, you little swine, you did this. And like, you know. It's brilliant, but yeah. I mean, going back to your point, so the first team has got promoted into the first division. The second team, we've been in the third division for quite a few years, actually.
Yeah.
And due to some really hard work by all the coaches and the second team members, we've managed to finish the season undefeated with the second team as well, and we've won the third division. We're getting promoted up into the second division. So for the first time in Jags history, the first team's being promoted and the second team's being promoted.
Yeah. Who's going to be your biggest rivals when you get into the Premier League?
I think, from my 20 years' experience, the one game that is always heated is the Sheffield.
Sheffield.
Even if it was East Midlands. So when we used to do like juniors under 19s, it was always East Midlands versus Yorkshire, which is basically Jags versus Steelers. And I think one year they had to stop the under 15s game because that game got so heated and loud. Yeah, it's the biggest rivalry that we've ever seen. And the most fights.
Yes.
Okay, so they're the biggest rivals.
Yes.
Are they going to be the biggest, as in fighting for the top?
Yeah, they have quite a lot of GB players
as well.
Current and ex players. So they're going to be one of the top. They're going to be in the top three easily.
They are pretty much every year, aren't they?
Yeah. So as well as being the biggest rivals, they're going to be one of the toughest ones as well.
Okay, so we're going to Sheffield. Where else are we going?
Glasgow,
London, Coventry,
Portsmouth, Plymouth.
Oh, going back to Plymouth as well.
Yeah. So Plymouth, because the other two teams were already in the Premier League, us and Plymouth got promoted. Well, we're coming first and second anyway. So yeah.
Oh, okay.
We've both got promoted. So the rivalry will continue next season with them, and I'm sure they'll be out to get revenge on that part.
What's great about the Plymouth boys, though, I mean, like you were saying earlier, but yeah, okay, it's all on court and it's a bit sort of argy-bargy and there's some fouling going on and, like, you know, you did this and you did that and all that kind of stuff. When that final whistle blows, you shake hands and they're a lovely bunch of guys. They're horrible on court, obviously, and nowhere near as nice and as gentlemanly as we are.
No.
But yeah, off court, they're a great bunch of guys.
It's a bit like any sport, isn't it?
You
kind of, like, we call it in football, you cross the white line, you have to change your personality to for the sport, yeah. Don't you? And as, it's the same for you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think with the community, the wheelchair basketball community as a whole, because it's quite small, there's only a few thousand of us out there, it's we cross paths quite regularly, and yeah. Especially going back to my times as a junior, we see a lot of junior players at the competitions and tournaments, and then they go off to other clubs and we still cross paths, and yeah. I've got friends that started out 20 years ago that are still cross paths and go, oh, can you remember that time when we were like 14 and young and naive and no commitment whatsoever, and yeah, we still have a laugh and a joke about that, and again, comes on court, we're no longer friends until afterwards.
I mean, even in my time, you know, you meet people time and time again, sort of thing. You know, and people move around clubs sometimes. But so there'll be times when you're sat waiting for something to happen. You know, the refs are talking or whatever, and you're sat next to a player on the other team, and like, does that come here often? You know, and you'll have a bit of a chat. Oh, that's a nice tattoo. Yeah. You didn't have that last year, did you? No, I didn't. You know, so you'll have almost like, you know, a bit of a chat halfway through. And then, of course, as soon as the ball comes in and you start playing, it's like, you know, I want to kill you. And away you go.
So, premises, are you going to stay at the Magnus?
We'd like to stay at the Magnus. It's been our home ground for the last 20 years, and it's a great venue. Got a lot of fond memories there. It's one of those that, with the Premier League, hopefully we can attract more and more fans in. And there's a lot more stipulations on what, as a club, we need to have in place as a structure. So more table officials, we need to live stream games. So you'll be seeing that on our social medias.
So you can watch it from the comfort of your own home. Some really dodgy camera work by a volunteer.
We need to find a volunteer.
So if you're out there, Mr. Volunteer or Mrs. Yeah. Volunteer, please volunteer.
The camera is provided.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll provide a camera.
But I was thinking when I was watching it last night, where I was sat, and you got to the Premier League, so you're going into the big game now.
Yeah.
There wasn't much room around the edge.
No.
No.
The amount of times I've personally ended up on on someone sitting on the sideline completely accidentally, just because you're focused on that court, and there's not a lot of runoff at the Magnus.
As one of our players proved last year when he ran into the table.
Yeah, I was sitting on the table doing your game, wasn't it? And I think was it you who was shouting? It's like, focus on the ball. So he's looking at the ball.
Push,
and then he just pushed straight
into the table. He didn't look up.
Yeah. 10 out of 10 for commitment.
Brilliant.
It was one of the funniest things I've seen.
What can I say? I wish you all the very, very best for next season.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Anytime. Yeah.
Thank you for inviting me to the training. Yeah.
Come back again.
I will come back again, and I will get in a chair. And we'll have a go at it. Because I noticed nobody wore gloves last night, and I'm thinking, these hands have never done
apart from who started wearing gloves at the start?
I don't wear gloves now.
You did for like 2 years, though.
I did for the first 2 years. I did wear gloves, you're quite right. I did wear gloves. Yeah. And then what happens is everybody takes the mickey because you wear gloves.
I see you no longer wear gloves.
No, and they mercilessly take the... Yeah, you get called all sorts of names.
I bet you look like Simon Templar from back in the day when he's driving his car, didn't you?
I think Ian's favourite name for me wasn't Simon Templar, it was Glover Lover, I believe. Yeah.
Oh, look at the time.
Yeah. Oh, mate. So anyway, brilliant. Thank you so much. Have a super, super season.
Thank you.
We'll come along and we'll see how you go. And thanks again very much, Steve, for coming in.
But if you're out there and you want to help and you want to volunteer and you want to come down and see what it's like, get in touch.
I was going to say, how do they get in touch?
Social media.
If you look on our Facebook page, we occasionally check that.
Okay.
We check that quite a lot.
If you go on any social media, search Jaguars WBC. That'll be on there.
Yeah, we're there.
Okay. Thank you so much again. We've got Dean coming up in a second. I think Doug's going to be with him tonight. And stay with us. And thanks again for joining me tonight. Appreciate that.